The longer you look, the more you will see. This was the advice given to visitors at the Nature Center in Los Alamos, which I visited a few weeks ago. The center has an observation room with a floor-to-ceiling window with a view in the foreground, in the distance of the Jemez Mountains, Acid Canyon, and Valles Caldera, and a certified wildlife area in the foreground. I found that not only did I see more the longer I looked, but I also had the opportunity to see more of the wildlife that had left and came back, and I could get a better look at the wildlife that came close to the window. The stories of Jesus are also like this. The longer we reflect on Scripture, the more we may see. When I read our gospel passage, I wondered how we could get more insight into Christ's ministry. One answer is that the Holy Spirit helps us to focus as we pray. This is described in the passage in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the very Spirit intercedes with us with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit also helps us as we interpret Scripture and find meanings for our lives today. Today we're going to focus on getting insight into Christ's ministry. We'll begin with the gospel passage in Matthew, in which we see 5 barley loaves and 2 fish stretched to feed 5,000 people. The loaves were like little sandwich rolls. The fish were like little salt fish the size of sardines, to act as a relish for eating the dry bread. Very likely the boy had set out for a picnic and had seen the crowds and joined them. Jesus took the boy's meal and fed 5,000 hungry people in such a way that there was enough and some to spare. Many have made suggestions as to how this miracle worked. One suggestion is that Jesus literally multiplied the loaves and fish so that they became many. Another suggestion from commentator William Barclay, which I'd like to explore today, is that many in the crowd had brought something to eat, knowing they would be away from home all day. But many had nothing, having made a sudden decision to accompany the crowd. Those who had food were unwilling to produce it because they wished to keep it for later, after they left the crowds. Then Jesus produced the 5 little rolls and 2 little fish and said, "This is all I've got, but let's share it." Then everyone produced what they had, and when all was pooled, there was more than enough. If we take it that way, this would be a miracle where the influence of Jesus changed a crowd of selfish people into a crowd of people willing to share what they had. If we take it that way, it's a miracle of the birth of love in the hearts of people and the awakening of a sense of the realm of God in people's souls. Jesus' words in gospel stories and parables are invitational forms of speech, inviting hearers to see something they might not otherwise see. They invite a transformation in perception. Meister Eckhart's quote, printed in your bulletin, helps explain this invitation. When the soul wants to experience something, she throws an image of that experience ahead of her and then enters into her own image. Today we'll look at how we can engage and get insight into these ministry images by focusing on meditative singing, meditative walking, meditative writing, and the Sacrament of Communion and social justice ministry through the Presbyterian Church's Self-Development of People program. As we do this, we're being transformed and we're able to transform the world. The first opportunity to engage Christ's ministry stories and images that we will look at is that when people came together to pray, meditative singing can help everyone to participate and to stay together in waiting on God. Meditative songs such as the chants of Taizé use just a few words and express a fundamental reality that can be quickly grasped by the mind. As the words are sung over and over again, many times, this reality can gradually sink into one's whole being. The second way to engage Christ's ministry storage and images is meditative walking. One tool for meditative walking is a labyrinth, a pattern, usually in the form of a circle, that has one path beginning at the outer edge and leading in a circuitous way into the center. One of the features to note about a labyrinth is that it's not a maze. A maze has many paths and dead ends. In a labyrinth, there is only one path leading to the center. One follows the same path in as you do on the way out. Following a meandering path can quiet the mind. According to Reverend Lauren Artress, founder of Veriditas, a modern labyrinth movement, when the mind is quiet, a stream of thoughts, memories, dream fragments, insights, and images come into awareness. This is stirred by the act of walking, as well as the structure of the labyrinth. We will be talking more about labyrinths after the worship service today. The third way to engage Christ's ministry images is meditative writing, which can include writing prayers, songs, dialoguing with sacred writings, and examining how your relationships with the divine interact with your lifestyle and your daily life. Over time, you can see how your journey of spiritual transformation is unfolding. Meditative writing, such as journaling, can also help with this. I'm using a method of meditating on scripture called Lectio Divina. The phrase Lectio Divina, difficult to translate, is the Latin for sacred reading. The noun lectio could be rendered as a reading, which is sacred or better, a reading which is divine. It derives from the verb lego, to choose, pick. In some, lectio divina may be said to be a kind of divine picking or choosing of a given sentence, phrase, or word through which God speaks. Ordinarily, this practice is confined to a slow perusal of sacred scripture. It is undertaken not with the intention of gaining information, but of using the text as an aid. First, to contact the living God, and second, to sustain that contact. Basic to this practice is a union with God in faith, which in turn is sustained by further reading. This reminds me of the saying, "The longer you look, the more you see." Passages can be read again and again. I use the following form of Lectio Divina, which is printed in your bulletin as an insert. It's called dwelling in the Word. The process is as follows: prayer, first reading of the text, pause. Second reading of the text, pause. Reflection questions, journal, prayer. Questions for reflection can include, but are not limited to these: what catches your attention in the text? What questions does this text raise for you? What do you think God might be saying to you through this text? I keep a journal of my reflections. In one of my journal entries, I wondered how Jesus expected the disciples to feed the crowd and why Jesus was delegating this task. Was Jesus trying to teach the disciples something? As I pondered these thoughts, I was reminded of the passage in Luke 8, verses 1 through 3, and the introduction to the parable of the sower. And that's a passage that talks about the women who supported Jesus' ministry. This introduction mentions two groups who were traveling with Jesus through the cities and villages in Galilee. The first group was the 12. And the second group is described as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. These and many other women are said to have provided for them out of their resources. From the second group, three women are named: Mary called Magdalene, Joanna the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna. Jesus' relationship to the women who walked with Jesus involved healing, sharing resources, and ministering with them. The word used in the introduction to describe the women's sharing of resources is the Greek word diakonos. This word can be translated as minister. Perhaps Jesus was trying to teach the disciples the value of sharing as a part of ministry. This type of ministry is an example of the third opportunity to engage Christ's ministry in images. We will look at an example of this ministry with the Presbyterian Church's Self-Development of People program. This church contributes to this ministry every year when you take up the One Great Hour of Sharing offering. One of the programs funded by SDOP is a $7,500 COVID-19 grant in 2020 to Indigenous Lifeways in Gallup. With funds received, the group was able to provide winter care packages to Native American elders. Their region experienced an unusually cold winter, which was an early cold front, which was brought urgency to keep their elders warm. Most Navajo roads are unpaved, which is a primary barrier in obtaining essentials for many elders when the roads are wet. Indigenous Lifeways was able to deliver over 335 blankets, 249 beanie, scarf, gloves, and 432 socks in Rama, Bed Springs Senior Center, Red Rock Senior Center, St. Joseph's Shelter, and Catholic Charities. They also gave items to the Gallup Community Health representatives to give to their clients throughout Western McKinley County. They exceeded their goals by finding deals and savings online. They were able to reach a wider audience by purchasing in bulk. They were able to reach unsheltered relatives by donating to local churches. This type of ministry is not new to White Rock Presbyterian Church. During the COVID pandemic, volunteers from this church assisted the Navajo Nation community in many ways, including providing food boxes. We will now examine how we can participate in Christ's ministry and share resources by celebrating the Sacrament of Communion. Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 demonstrated that Jesus can satisfy the deepest hunger of our souls and hearts. In every one of us, there is this discontent, something missing, so long as we try to live lives by ourselves. But Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Just as Jesus asked people to share their food in our gospel story today Jesus is asking us to give up something and join in bringing about giving abundant life for all. This is what the Christian faith is all about. Our gifts joining together with the gifts of many others in bringing about God's realm here on earth. When we celebrate the Sacrament of Communion, we share the gifts of bread and wine following Christ's example. As we receive this spiritual food, we are empowered to go into the world in peace, to love and serve Christ, and bring about this abundant life for all. We can follow the exhortation of our next hymn, "Called as Partners in Christ's Service," which begins with the verse, "Called as partners in Christ's service, called to ministries of grace." We respond with deep commitment, fresh new lines of faith to trace. May we learn the art of sharing, side by side and friend with friend, equal partners in our caring, to fulfill God's chosen end. Today we've looked at how we can engage and get more insight into these ministries by focusing on meditative singing, meditative walking, meditative writing, the Sacrament of Communion, and the social justice element of Presbyterian Church's Self-Development of People. Please join me in an attitude of prayer as I pray a prayer. Holy Spirit, by the power of your Spirit, reveal your will to us today through your word read and proclaimed and Sacrament of Holy Communion. Help us to understand your creative, redemptive, and consoling work, and lead us into the world filled with your Spirit, to proclaim, baptize, and teach. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.